Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Based on what Director Brennan has informed us, I have grave concerns that the CIA's search may well have violated the separation of powers principles embodied in the United States Constitution, including the speech and debate clause. It may have undermined the constitutional framework essential to effective congressional oversight of intelligence activities.
Yeah, intelligence, my behind.
Government function.
Thank God for the CIA. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I don't know if you know the big hullabaloo, but it's the biggest story of the day. Of course, the missing plane is getting crazier by the minute. Now the Malaysian Air Force is saying that it went off course and flew for several hundred kilometers after it disappeared with its transponder off, but the Air Force radar picked it up moving toward land. That's number one. But number two, domestically, we have Dianne Feinstein, who just a week ago was arguing how important it was to spy on ordinary, innocent Americans on a daily basis, maybe on a minute-by-minute basis, because, after all, that's how Animal Farm works. Some animals are more equal than others. But all of a sudden now, here she is screaming like a stuck pig, screaming, "Ooh, the Constitution is being violated. Ooh, the CIA, ooh, they listened, they looked it on my computer, and Leahy and Reed." Now, here's what I say. They're screaming, and look who's screaming, the most radical leftist in Congress, the most questionable, Harry Reid, Leaky Leahy, and Dianne Feinstein, who thought they were above the law, where the old Roman adage, "Who will watch the watchers," didn't apply to them, of course. Now they find out that their computers were being witnessed by the CIA, and they're screaming it's a violation of the Constitution. No, I don't think it is, by the way. I mean, you know, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others, applied in Animal Farm, but it shouldn't apply in America. I mean, this is the ultimate example of the pig's systematic abuse of logic and language to control we the people. This is absurd. And I ask you again, are you as upset as Dianne Feinstein about the CIA looking in on the computer or traffic or messaging of Congress? I'm not. I'm glad the CIA looked in on them. I'd like to know what they found. See, that's what I want to know. Why is she squawking all of a sudden? What is it that old Dianne Feinstein is so worried about? What is it that she thinks the CIA found in her computer that has her so alarmed? I mean, she's concerned about the Constitution. I get that. She wasn't concerned about it last week when they were looking in, or when the NSA was spying on you and I. And now she's concerned because the CIA was looking in on her. This is right out of Animal Farm. Now, many of you read Animal Farm in high school. It used to be required reading until the communists took over the educational establishment, and they found that the George Orwell was a little too instructive for all the animals in the political zoo. And so they eliminated George Orwell's Animal Farm once they took absolute power. The pigs who run virtually everything now in the United States of America have the lower animals to contend with, meaning the lower classes, and they don't want you getting any ornery ideas about the fact that all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. So I think they've banned Orwell's great book, Animal Farm. It's no longer taught in the schools. Who do you trust more is the question that I'm going to open with today, Congress or the CIA? I'd like your answer on that. And what do you think Feinstein, Reid, and Leahy might be hiding? That's simple. What are they so worried about? Listen to clip one now. Here's Feinstein again screaming like a stuck you-know-what about the CIA looking in on our computer traffic. Let's listen.
Our staff involved in this matter have the appropriate clearances, handled this sensitive material according to established procedures and practice protect classified information.
Right.
We're provided access to the Panetta review by the CIA.
Oh, Panetta, he's God Almighty.
I view the acting consul general's referral as a potential effort to intimidate this staff, and I am not taking it lightly.
Now, she's high and mighty. You see, she can't be intimidated by anybody. She is above the law. You understand that? There should be no oversight over Lady Feinstein. Lady Feinstein has had it her way for over 40 years, and she'll be damned if anyone's going to look into what she might be doing, because she is a law unto herself. That's what she's saying. How dare the CIA look at her? Listen to the next clip and tell me what you think.
I wrote a letter to Director Brennan objecting to any further CIA investigation due to the separation of powers constitutional issues that the search raised.
Right.
I followed this with a second letter January 23rd to the director asking 12 specific questions about the CIA's actions. Questions that the CIA has refused to answer.
Do you have any idea how big this is? I know that Limbaugh didn't discuss it because he didn't. It's easy to talk Republican, Democrat. CPAC, Republican, Democrat. It's much easier to do that. Two legs good, four legs bad. Four legs good, two legs bad. Over and over. But this is a bigger story. This is a far bigger story. Do you understand how big this story is? That Feinstein, the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, is now panicking that some of her computer, messages were perhaps reviewed by the CIA without her knowledge? Well, what is she worried about? What do you think she's worried about? That's what I want to know. I'd like to know what you, the people, think. If you don't want to discuss it, I'll move on. Because this is a very big story. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others, if you remember your animal farm. And it's the ultimate example of the pig systematic abuse of logic and language to control the lower animals. And the important thing to know is that the word equal is a relative term to Dianne Feinstein, I mean to the animals at Animal Farm, rather than an absolute term. Because to Feinstein, I mean in Animal Farm, there can be different degrees of equalness. For example, there are different degrees of color or colorfulness. You can be more colorful than I can be more colorful than you. And once you start modifying language, which is what we learned through the Stalinist years, through the years of the Soviet Union, once you modify language, the core ideals of Animal Farm and of America or any human nation gradually become corrupted as they are in the United States of America today. And that's why this book is so important. You may not know this, but Orwell was once a socialist. He was in love with the early promises in the early 30s of socialism, until he found out that it became an animal farm where some pigs were more equal than others. They took absolute power, and then they started to oppress the other animals in the farm. That's where we are in America today. We have an imperious president who's on the verge of becoming an imperial president. We have an imperious Dianne Feinstein, who thought she was a law unto herself, who is squawking to the highest heavens that God forbid someone looked in on what Lady Feinstein dared to write in her computers. I don't know what it is she's afraid of. I'm sure she's a fine person. I'm sure her and her husband Richard Blum are above the law in the sense that they've never done anything to break the law. I'm sure she's never, ever steered any contracts to her husband's defense contracting company over the years. I'm positive of that. I'm absolutely certain that the family's wealth has not increased during her many, many years in government. I'm convinced of all of these things. I'm also satisfied to know that although she has a daughter who's a Superior Court judge in San Francisco, this would have no bearing whatsoever on any such investigation, because this would be a federal matter, and there's no chance she'll ever be investigated, because immediately her complaint was sent up to the Honorable Eric Holder. See, Eric Holder is now more important than the CIA. So I'll ask you again, who do you trust more, Eric Holder or John Brennan in charge of the CIA? I'll tell you, I'll go with the CIA over Eric Holder. So what do you think she's worried about? And who do you trust more? Who do you trust more, Congress or the CIA? I mean, we have to take a choice here. You understand that we are now at a breaking point in this country, because I have another doozy for you coming up. Waldo came back from vacation. Yeah, his golfing trip, while the war winds were blowing, and Russia sent in 30,000 troops, he went golfing. Waldo went golfing, and the first thing Waldo does when he comes back is he goes on some drug addicted comedian's internet comedy show. I only assume he's a drug addict, the comedian, because that's what he portrays best, in that it seems that art imitates life in his case. I can't be sure, though. I don't know the difference between his act and who he is. He's nothing. He's a slobby comedian, but that's the level of the presidency that we have. The president would rather meet the comedians than meet the people. He'd rather meet the comedians than meet the press. So he goes on this dumb comedian show and listen to what the comedian is told to ask him. Listen to this one.
It must kind of stink, though, that you can't run, you know, three times.
No, actually, I think it's a good idea.
Hold it. The stooge comedian of the type that was used in the Soviet Union to make Stalin look better. The stooge comedian. Oh, he's so funny. Look, it's him. It's that Greek guy with the long name with the beard from that funny movie. Oh, everyone laugh in America now. Oh, look, it's that guy. Oh, he's funny. How do you know? I heard. So he goes on the Stooges show, and the Stooges is given a script. The Stooge says, I bet it feels bad that you can't run for a third term. And Obama says, I think it's a good idea. Now, you understand the comedian wouldn't have asked anything unless it was cleared with the commandante. The commandante had to clear the questions in advance, or he wouldn't have gone on the internet show. That's number one. But Commandante Obama said it's a good idea. So what do you think they're doing? Are they paving the way for a third term for Obama? Are they going to eliminate term limits for the presidency? It can't happen here. So I'll ask you another question. And here's the other question of the day, ladies and gentlemen, just to stimulate your minds, your numb, dull, drug minds. Here's the next question of the day from Michael Savage. Would you vote for Obama for a third term? I'm sure some of you would. I'd like to hear why. I want to hear from the diehard psychotic liberals posing as liberals, telling us why they would vote for Obama for a third term. So there are two questions in play. Who do you trust more, the CIA or Dianne Feinstein? What is Dianne Feinstein worried about? Number three, would you vote for Obama for a third term? If none of these questions interest you, you are brain dead. I suggest you turn on some music. The phone number is 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company Michael Savage trusts to buy his gold and silver from.
Well, first of all, I think it's fair to say that I wouldn't be with you here today if I didn't have something to plug. Have you heard of the Affordable Care Act?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. That's the thing that doesn't work. Why would you get the guy that created the Zune to make your website?
Healthcare.gov works great now.
I have limited information about exactly what the CIA did in conducting its search. The acting counsel general of the CIA filed a crimes report with the Department of Justice concerning the committee staff's actions.
What is she protecting? Do you have any idea this is one of the biggest stories of modern political life? A woman who has had absolute power for so many decades that she got used to it and forgot that she's a member of a government where there are supposedly checks and balances. A woman who, as near as a week ago, argued vociferously against reining in the NSA spying on ordinary Americans, is now screaming like a stuck you-know-what because she thinks the CIA searched her computers and the computers of all members of Congress, which, by the way, they should have done a long time ago. I mean, after all, the CIA, there is oversight over the CIA, as you well know. They have oversight. There are committees that oversee the CIA, but why are there no committees that oversee these imperious members of Congress? So I don't really see a problem because I know that you're being listened to, I'm being listened to in Animal Farm. The days of America are long over under Obama. We understand that this character has stolen our freedoms, just as Napoleon did in Animal Farm, just as Trotsky did, devoting himself to winning popular support through his eloquence and his handouts. Now, of course, in Animal Farm, Napoleon used attack dogs, which is something that Obama has been using in a subtle manner by using the NSA as his attack dogs. The Justice Department is his attack dogs. The IRS is his attack dogs. You name it. Just as Napoleon and Trotsky did Make no mistake about it, our president is also using his attack dogs. Now, you may not see them in the streets with sticks and clubs and guns, but it does signal the deterioration of America, just as Animal Farm was deteriorated, based on its original premise of equal rights, finally falling into becoming a society in which those who are powerful determine who gets what rights. And that brings us right back to Dianne Feinstein. She has felt that she should be above the law. She feels she is so honest and honorable, rather, that there's no reason for anyone to look into her computer, her staff's computer, or whatnot. And then she screams, oh, my God, look what's going on here. So I'm asking you that question. What do you think she's trying to, what is she afraid of? Let's put it to you that way. Now, remember, this is all speculation. We, the little people of Animal Farm, have no knowledge of what's actually going on. We are the little people in Animal Farm. They are the big, big machers, the big deals. Feinstein, you know, they're the big ones. We're nobody. The regular members of the media, they're the stooges of the power structure, and they pretend that they're not. But in fact, they are. There was one woman at CBS who occasionally stood up to this administration. She got fired. Now, if you take away the C from CBS, you're left with what they actually broadcast. WMAL in Washington, Timothy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, how you doing? First of all, you know, I'd like to say I was a Navy vet. I am a Navy vet and a punk rocker, conservative punk rocker. But what I get out of all this is that they're hiding something. And the CIA, those guys that was working for the CIA died in Benghazi. And I think the CIA looking out for their own people, trying to find out.
Oh, they're trying to find out who might have left them hanging in the winds there, in the wind there in Benghazi.
You know, and it hurts.
Oh, that could be what old lady Di is afraid of.
Yeah.
Oh, there may actually be an email or two which says, screw him, let him drop dead. Don't send any help, you mean? And then it can go all the way up to the peasant Avanti himself?
Yep.
Well, I don't think he was directly involved by what I see. I don't think he's directly involved in anything except public relations. I think that it might have gone way beyond Feinstein if she had anything to do with it at all. I would suspect that it went up to one of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. They're the ones who gave the thumbs down on sending in a backup to protect our men in Benghazi. But you've got a good snoop there, a good nose for investigation there. Probably a better one than the FBI does. This is very good news. Now there's a war between the CIA and Dianne Feinstein, Leaky Leahy, and Harry Reid. What do they got to hide?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Hot Talk 560.
Where are you planning on building a presidential library, in Hawaii or your home country of Kenya? Because, I mean, both places seem like they would be...
Zach, that's a ridiculous question.
Well, you know, I mean, not to bring up the birth certificate thing, but you really never did really produce
your...
Really...
Where's your birth certificate? Why don't you show it to us right now?
I don't want to show anybody my birth certificate because it's embarrassing.
What's embarrassing about it?
My weight on it, it says that I was born 7 pounds, 800 ounces.
Now, it seems like he's being irreverent and that the comedian was really ballsy, but my gut feeling tells me this was all scripted. Every last word was scripted in advance, because remember, this guy's an uneducated adult, just a comedian, who plays a drug-addicted slob in movies, and people laugh at him as sort of the Lou Costello of our time. And you think Obama would go on the show if he really didn't want that question asked? I don't. This is to put aside the birth certificate issue by turning it into a joke. But that's not the big story of the day. The big story of the day is Feinstein screaming that the CIA... Well, listen to clip 5 again, in case you just joined the Savage Nation. 5.
The CIA search may also have violated the Fourth Amendment, the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, as well as Executive Order 12333, which prohibits the CIA from conducting domestic searches or surveillance.
Well, she almost said demented searches, which would have been more appropriate in terms of what she's been doing to us through the NSA. I mean, the NSA has been conducting demented searches, and we've been screaming, stop it. And who was the biggest offender of the NSA demented search department? Her. So now she's screaming, oh, God, look, they looked in on what I was doing, Leahy was doing, and Reid. Reid, Leahy, and her are the most radical of all of them. I don't think there's anyone to the left of Leahy. I don't think there's anyone more questionable and suspicious than Reid. And certainly Lady Di scares the pants off most normal Americans. Every time she gets up, people fear her. because they know that she had absolute power. So I've asked you, who do you trust more, the CIA or Congress? I trust the CIA more. I trust Mr. Brennan more than I do Dianne Feinstein or Reid or Leahy, to be honest with you. I think John Brennan has a far better background than they do. I just trust him inherently more. And so I don't understand what she's screaming about. She's obviously got something to hide. And I want to pull back. I hope she doesn't. I hope that it's all my distrust of power and that all of my suspicions are false. And I hope she's as clean as she says she is. And Leahy is as good as he says he is. And Reid is above the suspicion as he says he is. I hope so. I truly do. Because, I want to trust my government. I mean, the approval rating of Congress may be in the single digits, but I'm a believer. I'm an ex-Boy Scout, so I just want to believe that my government is, really good people. People who want to serve us, those who go into public service, they don't go into it to enrich themselves or their families. They go into it to serve us, not to serve an agenda of any kind. It's to serve we, the little people, the little animals on the bottom. I really hope that that's true, but what if it isn't? What if one of these power-hungry maniacs is found to have, let's say, shared classified information with one of our enemies, or one of these power maniacs has been found to have steered a contract to a friend or a family member, or gotten a kickback, or you go down the list of things that happen in government, that have happened in government, and are happening in government here and elsewhere. What if one of them got nailed, and we saw him or her being let out in handcuffs? I think it would be the most healing thing for the nation. I think that it would be the most humbling thing for Congress. I think that such an image of an American senator who is above the law, above suspicion, above any kind of investigation, going down for the count before the American people would be one of the most healing events of our political life. And don't say it can't happen here. It has happened here. I mean, it's happened in Congress with Dan Rostenkowski. If you remember him, he was quite powerful. He went to prison. The governor of Illinois, remember him? He went to prison. So don't say it can't happen there. It can. It would give people faith in their government. It would let people know that who will watch the watchers has meaning, a phrase going back to ancient Rome where people said, who will watch the watchers? Well, the answer is maybe the CIA is finally doing the job that the FBI won't do anymore, because the FBI is totally under the control of Obama. He has completely and totally and absolutely taken control of the FBI under Holder. No one trusts organizations that are in a single hand. Why should they? There should be different hands looking at each other. Don't you think? And then the issue of Obama, third term. He was jokingly said it's a good idea. Let's go to BAP. WBAP. Patrick, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Pleasure to speak with you. I would vote for Obama for a third term.
Okay, and you would vote for Obama for a third term, even though it's illegal. Now, why would you do that?
Because the other option would be Hillary Clinton. As you know, with the influx of the community organization movement in our country, we don't have a fair election anyways. But I can guarantee that's not going to happen, because he couldn't get close enough to 3%, 4%, 5%, whatever they needed, to where they could really push it over the edge and boost their numbers. So they got to at least have that.
I understand, but realistically, term limits exist on the presidency going back. Do you know how far term limits were imposed on the presidency?
Well, okay, I get that. Let me give you an analogy.
Answer the question. When were term limits introduced into the presidency?
Well, I have no idea when, but I know why. It's to,
It was called the rotation in office, and they date back to the American Revolution. They were overturned for Franklin Delano Roosevelt, our last dictator, who served 3.5 terms, and he is one of Obama's mentors. After Roosevelt served, I think, 14 years, I don't know the exact number, I think it's 3.5 terms, they reinstituted a firm control of term limits. So we certainly don't want Obama to run a third term, do we? Thanks for the call. Run the cuckoo clock. I'd like to hear the cuckoo clock again, and then we'll continue with our conversations. Forget the cuckoo clock. What do you think Feinstein's worried about? WABC Paul, you're next up on the Savage Nation. This is all speculation. I want to preface what Paul is about to say. This is an open show, and America speaks on the Savage Nation. What do you think she might be worried about, Paul?
Well, first off, I would take law enforcement over Congress any day of the week. I mean, the bottom line is they haven't been poisoned yet by lobbyists. So naturally, you would trust them a little bit more than Congress.
That's interesting. That's true. CIA is not driven by lobbyists. That's interesting.
Not yet. But in any event, second of all, in terms of her reference to CAFA, the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, I don't know who's advising her, but that act gives you an exemption if there's authorized access. And my understanding is that the computers were given to them by the CIA, so it was their computer. So I don't think there's any CAFA violation.
Let's explain to the people what you just said. The CIA is so clever that they gave the staffers of Feinstein and the others computers to use to do classified work, correct? But they didn't know that the computers were being looked at. Is that it?
Yeah, so I don't see how she could possibly have a claim under that. But, you know, pushing that aside, I mean, she's not an attorney, so she's just repeating what somebody whispered her in the ear probably to.
Yeah, something she heard over dinner last night on Pacific Heights.
Exactly. So to cut to the chase, what I think happened, and again, obviously it's all speculation, because the purported leak had to do with interrogation techniques, my guess is there was a leak to the press, and the CIA was investigating to see who within her staff leaked things to the press, and they were able to track down whether it's email or some sort of transfer from the computers or just, you know, mimicking the language that was used, and were able to trace the person that actually leaked it as within her or someone else's.
It sounds like it's something close to her because she's screaming the loudest, and you'd have to agree with me that anyone who would take such an extraordinary time to call the CIA to task is worried about something. I think, Paul, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. And it's something that's not Benghazi-related or something momentous. I think it's something a little bit slight, and it's something that involves the press in some way.
You don't think that this will lead to the a scandal being exposed of fraudulent contracting, steering contracts, nepotism of that nature, anything of that nature? And I don't mean amongst with her. I mean anyone else.
Well, her and her husband, obviously. I mean, they have.
Well, no. You know that they would never do a thing like that. I mean, just because he owned a defense contracting company that did great amount of business during the Iraq War, the Afghanistan War, and then changed the name of the company a few times, I wouldn't suspect anything like that occurred. You know that she wouldn't do that, Paul.
Yeah, it's funny how even if you're super wealthy like Bloomberg and you're a multi-billionaire, when you leave office 8 years later, you triple your wealth or you do an amazing amount of extra billions to your float sheet.
Well, how is that possible that you leave office richer than you came in and there's no record of how you made the money and that they're not investigated automatically? In other words, if you go into office and your wealth increases by 3, 4, 5-fold, wouldn't you think that should automatically trigger an investigation?
You would hope so, but it doesn't.
You would hope so, but Animal Farm has probably passed the Public Service Act number 2333, which says that a person's wealth is not the business of the government if they work for the government.
Exactly.
Something along those lines. All right, you win the prize today. Here's some headlines. U.S. sending 12 F-16 jets and 300 service members to Poland. And it's not to get Poland spring water. Apparently, our peacenik president came back from his golfing trip, and he found out that last week the U.S. Air Force sent 6 F-15 Eagles and 60 airmen to RAF Lackenheath, England, onto Lithuania to bolster NATO's air policing mission over the Baltics. Okay. I think that was the same night he had Aretha Franklin in the White House. So he may have just learned about it. I don't know. Meanwhile, in New York State, the governor says college for inmates will pay off for taxpayers. America used to have a robust college education system for prison inmates, and it was seen as a way to rehabilitate men and women behind bars. But then these taxpayer-funded college classes for inmates were defunded in the 1990s by an evil Republican governor. But then along came progressive leftist governor Andrew Cuomo, who would like to bring back classes for prisoners in state prisons. And I wonder what kind of classes they would take. What's his name? The guy who had all the girls who killed people up in California with the swastika on his head. I don't remember his name. I saw a show on the Manson. Manson's Girls. I saw a show last night on Bio. They're doing very well in prison. Looks like they get standard beauty treatment and hair treatment. It was Manson's Girls interviewed in prison. Now, remember what they did? They butchered people with knives. They're looking like ordinary housewives in prison. Apparently, the sex is good, and the beauty treatments must be very good. The girls look very good. They're in their 60s now. They never look better. They probably look better in prison than they would have if they stayed out of prison. So what if Manson wanted to take a course in prison? Should he get a course? Como said you pay $60,000 for a prison cell for a year. You put a guy away for 10 years, that's $600,000. Chances are, he says, almost half that once he's released, he's going to come right back. And Como argues that helping inmates get a college education would cost about $5,000 a year per person. And if it keeps that inmate from bouncing back into prison, that would be a good idea. So I'd like to ask you a question. While middle-class families in New York State and elsewhere are struggling to pay for their kids' tuition, housing, and books, Mr. Cuomo, the leftist governor of New York State, wants the taxpayer now to foot the bill for college education for prisoners. People are saying, are you crazy? Where is the relief for the rest of the law-abiding population? So I'll throw that question out. Do you think it's fair that inmates get college paid for while many law-abiding citizens can't afford to go? Unless they are young men of color. Then, of course, the program for only colored people, colored men, by the way, no women need apply. Obama's a genius. He's got genius there. You know, he knows how to violate the Constitution and make it sound constitutional. He passed some program last week called, remember the big hullabaloo? What it was called, My Brother's Keeper, right? Which is right, astounding. I mean, the name of it itself is paradoxical to use it. My Brother's Keeper, but white males need not apply, and women need not apply. And Obama got away with it. The drug addicts in the media applauded it, thinking it was a wonderful idea to single out young boys of color. White males and women need not apply. They thought that was just great. It just shows you how wonderful our watchdog press is. Uh-oh, I see the red lights flashing. That means only one thing. It means I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So, Jonty, this is Freak Ab Hamid's Facebook page. He had sent you a message, hadn't he, after your flight together?
Yeah, just after our flight, he just sent me a friendly message saying, have a safe flight back home. That's everything.
Have a safe flight back home with a little smiling.
Mm-hmm.
So that was December 14, 2011. The pilot who invited you into the cockpit is the very same pilot who was flying the plane when it disappeared.
Yeah, you heard that latest story, didn't you? The two bimbos who claimed that they were flying on Malaysia Airlines a couple of years ago, two Australian bimbos. And the pilot, whatever his name is, Farouk, Abdul Hamid, the pilot, okay. Yeah, that sounds good unto itself. The pilot invited them into the cockpit for the whole flight. Roos said she and her friend, the other blonde bimbo, were allowed to stay in the cockpit during the entire one-hour flight from Phuket, Thailand to Kuala Lumpur. Now, Phuket, Thailand, as you all know, is a sex town. The only people who go to Phuket are either to... It's a place known for just raunchiness, that's all. It's an open sex town. So the two bimbos go there. And the pilot take a look at them and invited them into the... And so the entire flight, they were talking to us and smoking throughout the flight. So what does that tell you? Well, nothing unto itself. But I don't know, maybe the pilot? Who knows? It's a new twist on the whole story. Now, if you really want to get sick, and I really don't suspect you do, go to my website. I just found the story that I wasn't going to talk about, but I have to. We keep hearing about how sacred and advanced the third worlders are, as opposed to us evil people in the first world, how cruel we are. But of course, you know the reverse is true. The third world is filled with the most retro behavior known to mankind. I found the story from the Philippines where they force horses to fight to the death while whipping them with bull whips. They take two stallions and force them to fight to death in front of a female in heat. You want to see horses with teeth and hooves and claws and the friendly faces of third worlders that Obama wants to flood us with? Go to michaelsavage.com.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Michael Savage.
The American people are sitting like a bunch of schmucks, watching a dictatorship emerge in front of their eyes.
Weekdays, noon till 3, on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The issue here is the Senate Intelligence Committee spent several years, starting back in 2009, looking into the practices of the CIA after 9/11, those enhanced interrogation techniques, also called torture, also the CIA's practices when it came to detaining people at secret prisons around the world. An internal CIA memo that the Senate Intelligence Committee was able to receive, and they wanted to know how the committee got that memo, and so they searched this committee's internal network. Part of this investigation is the CIA General Counsel saying that maybe these members of the Senate Intelligence Committee did something wrong. Maybe they got that internal review by some sort of illegal means.
It is the Savage Nation. Who will watch the watchers was an adage going back to Roman days. Of course, in America, as you well know, no one watches the watchers. They are a law unto themselves. They are above the law. They are not citizens like you and I. Just as an animal farm, they have basically hijacked democracy for their own advantages. We all know that, which is why we all detest Congress. I mean, there's no... Why mince words? When you say their approval rating is low, what does that mean? We hate them. Well, let's translate it man to man. What do you mean their approval rating is low? We hate their guts. We wish one of them would go to prison in order to straighten the rest of them out and put the fear of God into them. We wish one of them was taken out in handcuffs off the floor of the Senate in the middle of one of their pontificating speeches. So now we wake up today and we see there's a big scandal brewing. What's the scandal? Feinstein screaming like a trapped hamster in a cage that no one can open the door for her. And she's screaming, let me out, let me out, let me out, let me out. Running on the wheel, let me out, let me out. Now, she, all of a sudden, she's talking about the Constitution and the violation of this, violation of that. This is the same lady, Di, God bless her, who, as near as a week ago, if I remember, defended the NSA spying on the rest of us in Animal Farm. Oh, yeah, we need this. She didn't want to rein in the NSA. She loved having access to our personal computers. See, when she says that the NSA has the right to do it and we need it for fighting terrorism, what she means is, let's say she has a political opponent or a political enemy, or someone in the state of California does, or someone in America does, and they go to Lady Di, she hacks into, she gains access to what the NSA has been looked into, you or me. So why wouldn't she want that? And then she wakes up and says, wait a minute, now the CIA looked at what I did, what Leahy did, what Reid did, and what the others in Congress and the Senate Intelligence Committee may have or may not have done. So she's screaming, oh, it's violate. So you got to hear Feinstein again, where she says, this is very important. I know that you probably haven't heard much about it. I think it's a huge story. It's bigger than the buffoon John McCain doing the rounds of television. I just wish he'd stay in television. I wish they'd give him a talk show on MSNBC already. Let him make a legitimate living and get out of Congress. Put a real Arizonan into the position. They'd be better off putting a donkey in the seat instead of John McCain. If they can get a wild horse from the Arizona deserts and stick him in John McCain's seat and the horse could vote by going nay or bray, I think we would do better than with John McCain right now. Nay or bray. So now Feinstein's got her you-know-what in a bunch. And she's saying it violates all sorts of constitutional this. And listen to clip 5. You'll get a gist for it.
The CIA's search may also have violated the Fourth Amendment, the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, as well as Executive Order 12333. which prohibits the CIA from conducting domestic searches or surveillance.
Demented searches, okay. Now, you got to understand what this is really, the subtext of this is, who has absolute power, who has power over everyone. Feinstein believes she does. She believes, as the queen of the Senate Intelligence Committee, she has the right to have power over the CIA. The CIA says, not so fast. We're an independent agency. We don't have to answer to you for everything that we do because we don't trust you. We don't trust members of your staff. We're saying, wait a minute. Somebody in your office leaked these stories about interrogation techniques, and you used it to crucify us in the CIA, which led to the destruction of several important careers. Moreover, we have never forgiven you for letting our CIA assets die in Benghazi. And maybe we can show you that what goes around comes around. I mean, that's the subtext. Now, remember, you don't have to believe me at all. There's no reason you have to believe me. I'm an independent American. I am an independent conservative. It is true. None of the parties represent my interests. If I ran for office, it would be borders, language, and culture. And so far, no one on the horizon represents my interests. No one at CPAC even came close. Not even the diminutive gentleman who won the straw poll, who I think is a straw man unto himself. But I'd vote for the straw man. I'd vote for the straw man over another 8 years of the Clintons. I mean, this is ludicrous. Oh, Hillary Clinton. Oh, wow, yeah. Cool, a woman. Oh, that's great. All women are so much better than all men. And we saw that. Remember the year of the women in 1994? Take a look at what we have now. Barbara Mikulski, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, Diane, all of them. They have really given government a clean start. Oh, yes, these women have brought absolute purity and honesty and decency to Congress. That's just what we were promised. So now, we've had 8 years of the Clintons. You expect surprises? You expect something different than what you had? She was co-president for 8 years. Everyone knows that. Now, you can't stop her from running on using term limits. But what do you think you're going to have with Hillary Clinton as president, I ask myself? What is the big excitement about the fact that she just might be the first woman president? Oh, wow. Oh, that would be just super. Well, now we've had our first black president. How'd that work out? Did it work out well? Popularity real high. People are real happy. Government's doing well. The economy's doing super. The people feel freer than ever. Let my people go really operates with Obama. He's certainly shown how to lead by example and leads a frugal lifestyle. He certainly doesn't abuse the taxpayer at all. He certainly doesn't debase the presidency. He certainly doesn't debase the White House. He certainly invites the highest class guests in the world into the White House. He certainly shows a real diligence for the job. He certainly has made the White House and the office of the presidency a place we should all be proud of. Places we should all be proud of. Yeah, that's worked out real well. But that's his character. That's what we got. So you have to look beyond race and sex. You have to look at character. And I think that if you put aside Hillary's sex, meaning female, let's look at her character. What qualifies her to be the president of the United States of America after what we have suffered through under Obama, who was sold to us under a set of false premises? What are her qualifications? I still don't understand how even a liberal could vote for her. I got to tell you something else. Her approval ratings are in the toilet amongst women. Women don't like her. Women do not like Hillary Clinton. I don't think it's a shoo-in. The problem is there's no candidate on the other side who can defeat her. I don't think Rand Paul can beat her. I'd vote for him, as I said, if he ran. I'd vote for any Republican over her. Well, with the exception of John McCain and Bob Dole. Other than that, I think I'd vote for any Republican over Hillary Clinton. Bob Dole, I used to respect him because of his war service. Great American hero. Suffered violently in the Battle of Italy, scaling a mountain. He was an Army Ranger. Great American. And was in the hospital for 4 years from the injuries he suffered. We all love Bob Dole. And then we found out he became a lobbyist for China after he got out of office. I mean, you know, where do you go with that? How do you still respect the man who does that? Am I supposed to not know that because it's not reported by the media? Okay, so then we got the mystery deepens as data shows jet drastically changed course. Two Iranians with stolen passport ID, but we're supposed to, oh, that nothing to do with, oh, it doesn't matter if they're Iranian. No, dismiss all ideas of terrorism. That's the same sentence. You trapped hamsters out here in America land. You're all trapped hamsters. You're supposed to believe that although the two Iranians with the stolen passports on the plane, it has nothing to do with terrorism. Yeah, okay, believe that. Nothing to do with Well, what is it then? Where'd the plane go? Maybe the plane didn't crash. If it crashed in the ocean, you'd see a pair of underwear floating. If the plane went down in the ocean, the average person, we could all figure it out. I don't care how fast it went down. There'd be a pair of underwear, a suitcase, a flotation device. There is nothing, nada. So we have to assume it didn't go down in the ocean. Because the new assumption is that the jet drastically changed course. According to the military radar used by the government of Malaysia, they say that their radar showed that, there's another mystery here. The airplane apparently went off course at a lower altitude and was flying for quite a while at a very low altitude, as I said. So where did it go? Did it land somewhere? Where did it go? What's the focus? Where could the plane have gone? This is amazing. Well, maybe we should ask Feinstein, because she is the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and I think that instead of worrying about her own behind, so to speak, maybe she could tell us what she thinks, since she knows all. She has the oracle in front of her, which is data on everybody. All right, these are some of the topics we're talking about. Phone number is 855-407-282. Are you excited yet by the show? You're interested by the show? You're glad you're listening to the show? We have a lot of other interesting ideas that I'm going to bring up for you, including an interview I did this morning on a new affiliate, cluster of affiliates in somewhere in America. I want you to listen to it because it covers a lot of news, and I want to take you behind the curtain of what I do sometimes in the morning before I go on the air, right here on the Savage Nation. But before I take my first quick break, let's take a couple of quick calls. WABC, Ann, welcome. What's on your mind?
Hello, thank you, Mr. Savage. I don't think that we will ever recover what America stands for unless we confront something that we are terrified of confronting. And I'm coming from a good place because it could be misinterpreted. I think it would do African Americans and people of color all over the world lots of good if they're feeling victimized and oppressed. That now that we're going global, that in the face of the world history, look at the pyramids, look at these sphinx, look at all these old kingdoms and all these old empires, I question them. Who held the whip and who held the sword and who cast the stone then? And let my people go. It was not a set of blue eyes and blonde hair that said no. I mean, for thousands of years, it was the dark hand that oppressed many a slave for thousands. And here we are because we have recorders, we have photographs, we have a way to collect information that sears us perhaps more than, say, the hieroglyphs in a pyramid. And here we are, the finest country in the world, so much work still to do, and they're bringing us down under the pretense that we are the worst racists in the world. We're the only country that fought to save a race, both north and south and east and west, and we almost completely destroyed ourselves for it without the intervention of another nation. And by the way, our own founding father was the first one to give up fireplaces and furs and opulence and crowns, all just to come here and nearly die to start a new democracy? Why can that not be appreciated? And why does no one take into account that those beautiful pyramids we like to brag about and we pay so much money to see, those were built on the backs of slaves. And I believe that the hands were dark. They were not white hands.
And that's a very eloquent essay that you just spoke, a verbal essay. You're a very educated woman. Did you write this down before you called the show?
No, I was so nervous on how to approach it because I didn't know which way I can approach it.
What you're saying is you're sick and tired of the race baiting by your people of color. I think that's the bottom line. You're sick and tired of hearing it? Is that what you're saying? You're sick and tired? We had the first black president, first attorney general is black, black people running most of the government, and we're supposed to believe we're a racist nation? We're still buying into that Animal Farm rubbish double talk? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. And I say to myself, here we are, all of us, like boiling water from a stew. We've come, this is the fourth year, and maybe this is what, we're not even 300 years old, Dr. Savage. When you compare that to the thousands and thousands of years that it took to bring us here,
I understand. I get it. I understand the story that you're telling, and it's an interesting point of view, Anne, and I can't say I disagree with anything you said. I think this is the most noble nation that ever existed and ever will exist. And I compare it with any nation on earth today. It is the citadel of liberty throughout the world. Anne, you are a wonderful and welcome caller to the Savage Nation. I'm going to send you a free copy of my last bestseller called Trickle Down Tyranny. Stay in the line. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company Michael Savage trusts to buy his gold and silver from.
I have this line I use way too much about that our approval rating of Congress is 12%, you know, that we're down to paid staff and blood relatives. You know, that's a pretty good line. I got a call from my mother the other day. She's 102. Oh, we're now down to paid staff.
David Letterman, a real genius. A real genius. So now we have the moron, McCain, running around with a comedy writer. Could you realize that this country has fallen to the level that a paid U.S. senator is on television more than he is in Congress, which actually is a blessing in the case of this senile old warhorse, and he has a paid comedy writer on his staff, in my opinion, because who else could write such lame jokes but a paid comedy writer? Anyway, those are not the news topics of the day. There are many news topics of the day. The plane, the Feinstein, methink thou doth protesteth too much, darling. The other issues of the day are out there. The women who say that the bimbo's coming back from Phuket Island, who said that, oh, yeah, the pilot of the plane, yeah. They're real dogs, man. They invited us into the cockpit, and they were smoking the whole time that they flew to from Kuala Lumpur to wherever the next stop was. I've been in Kuala Lumpur. It's a real toilet. But I don't like Thailand either. I almost died there from food poisoning. You know, it's very much like in and out the garbage pail. By that great psychiatrist, Fritz Perls. You ask me a city, I tell you my answer based upon what happened to me there. If you say to me, Thailand, I say, a horrible place. I almost died there from food poisoning. You know, whatever the... It depends upon how I felt and what I ate. I mean, how else do you judge a country? What, by a history book? Like, ask me what I think of France. It was fun. The cheese was good 30 years ago. What do you think of Italy? The pizza was terrible. I didn't like it. I remember when I went to Italy, I was amazed that New York pizza is better than the pizza in Rome. That's the only thing I noted in my journal of any significance.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Savage. KSFO. Now, Edward Snowden is considered a traitor by some and a hero to others. I consider him a hero, not a traitor, by the way, and I know many of you disagree with me. But he's... sounded off on this Feinstein Senate Intelligence Committee big deal. He's saying she's a hypocrite. NSA whistleblower Snowden accuses Dianne Feinstein of double standards, pointing out her lack of concern about widespread surveillance of ordinary citizens. I said the same thing right from the beginning. I didn't read this till just now. He said, who is she kidding? Pointing out her outrage at evidence her staff was spied on by the CIA was not matched by concern about widespread surveillance of ordinary citizens. I talked about Animal Farm. So I agree with Snowden on this. Absolutely. There's no question about it. It is hypocrisy. I don't know where this is going to end. This dramatic speech by Feinstein is certainly going to lead to a lot of fall. There's going to be a lot of fallout from it. What it means to the average person is probably insignificant, unfortunately. Unfortunately. Now, I want to do this. I want to do this. This morning when I woke up bright and early, I did an interview with WBEN in Buffalo, New York. It's a new affiliate of mine, a very powerful station up there. And I wouldn't play it for you if I didn't think it had national ramifications. I was interviewed by the host, Sandy Beach. I want you to hear a little bit of the flavor of this interview right now on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Michael Savage, 10 to 1 right here on News Radio 930. And on the line, we have Dr. Savage in person. Welcome to Buffalo. Welcome to WBEN, Dr. Savage.
Well, what a pleasure to be up in your country. I'm here in wonderful San Francisco, podcasting out to the universe and telling the world how crazy the world can be.
Well, it certainly is. I'll tell you, I used to program in San Francisco. I love the town, but I'm thinking you must be a miracle man because you're in California, you're educated at Berkeley, you're working out of San Francisco, yet you're certainly not liberal like most of those areas I just discussed. How have you not only survived, how have you thrived in that atmosphere, Michael?
Well, I've thrived because looking at the madness is a full-time job. I have to thank the crazies because without them, just think about it, if I fit in perfectly, what would there be to talk about?
That's right. I was listening to you yesterday, fascinated. You're definitely a take-no-prisoner kind of guy. And I thought I'd get your opinion on a few things as our audience, the audience of WBEN, is getting to know you. Why do you think there's been no congressional pushback to the president? The president's made it quite clear that he doesn't need no stinking three branches of government. He can do it alone. Why haven't the congressional leaders pushed back on that, Michael?
The answer is there are no leaders. I mean, the big question, let's take it and make it simple. This guy went on a vacation this weekend in the middle of a war brewing in the Balkans. The Russians moved in 30,000 troops, and he went golfing. Now, any other president, there would have been calls for impeachment, an investigation, nothing. The media didn't even report on it. So if they're not reporting on the man's excesses, how could you have an investigation? 2 weeks ago, 1,000 black pastors met, and they demanded that there be an impeachment hearing against them. 1,000 black pastors met, demanding there be an impeachment hearing because of the president's stance on gay marriage. No one even reported it. My wife didn't even know that the story occurred, and she's kind of up on the news. Why? Because there's a government media complex that covers for this man no matter what he might do. This is a very dangerous situation. It doesn't matter whether you're a liberal or a conservative, because if this is what we fall into as a nation, where you can have an imperial presidency who just says, I have a pen, as you just said, I don't need your permission, I'll do what I want, well, where does that lead? What if we get a right-wing president in 4 years? That's if there's even an election. What then? We'll hear all the screams from those who are silent now? And why should we listen to them then?
Well, you bring up
very bad for America.
You bring up a good point because we used to have in New York the Teflon Don. I think he's become the Teflon president. Do you think it's because of race that people are afraid to tag him with what his actions would call for? Or what do you think it is? There's got to be a reason. Is it just because he's a liberal Democrat and the press is in love with him? What do you think?
Well, I think both things are at play. I believe that they're afraid of mentioning any criticism because they're afraid of being called a racist, which is ludicrous. And the second reason is what you said. They agree with him. They like the imperial presidency because he's giving them maybe 90% of what they want, the rubbish on global warming, every social engineering scheme of the last 30 years, on steroids. A budget that is so bloated that our children's children's children can never pay off the debt. It is sort of dancing around the golden calf. Where does it end? When does it end? You know, but if I only did politics, I would have been out of the business a long time ago. So if anyone listens to the show, I've been in the business 20 years. I tend to do things other than just politics because Obama and Congress are not the sun, the moon, and the stars. There's so much more out there. And I bring my background to the show, as I think your listeners will come to appreciate. And I try to do it all, whether it's music, science, books, movies. I'm a big movie fan. We can do it all on the Savage Nation, but it's all interrelated to politics at the end of the day anyway, isn't it?
Well, we've heard a lot about you before we've had a chance to hear you. Many times you would be referenced, depending on what subject we're doing, by callers who gave your position. And as I listened yesterday, obviously you're a man who knows your own thoughts, not afraid to express them. The bottom line, though, is that when you get out there and you're playing to an audience, yesterday you were talking about Jewish rabbis, that's a little redundant, but some rabbis in New York who said, we don't want to fight in Israel, and I found that fascinating.
Members of the ultra-Orthodox sect marched in Manhattan over the weekend, 10 blocks long, 50,000 people dressed in black.
Wow.
To protest the compulsory military service that's being introduced in Israel for the first time for religious as well. Well, it touched the wrong nerve with me because, wait a minute, you don't want to serve in Israel, then what are you marching here in New York for, I asked. What does it have to do with New York? I said, go march in Tel Aviv and see if the secular Jewish people whose sons do, in fact, sons and daughters, incidentally, serve in the Israeli military, respect your argument that because you're so religious, you shouldn't serve in the military. Because I don't think it makes sense.
Well, I think it took, I thought it took large ones when you mentioned, when they said, we don't have to serve because we will be protected by God. And now that's a very, very fine line to walk, but I thought you handled it masterfully.
Well, right, how'd that work out for the Jewish people during the Holocaust?
True.
That's what I said. If the Israelis learn one thing, they learn that they better have a Bible in one hand and an Uzi in the other if they wish to survive.
Well said. Now, do we have any cards to play with the Russians over the Ukraine, or are we kind of up the creek?
Well, this is a president who's been downsizing the military from the day he began. He has a vendetta against the military, and the police, by the way, and guns, by the way. And he says we don't need the military. He's eliminating tanks. He cut off the tank production lines in Cleveland, I think, two, three weeks before this occurred. And the geniuses in the Defense Department, so-called, cut off the manufacturer of our great tank-killing airplane, the A-10, just before Putin rolled some tanks onto the border of Ukraine. And here we are again, and there were reports yesterday that some of his advanced troops are now actually in eastern Ukraine, very much like we had advisors in Vietnam in the early days. So it seems to me he's getting ready for a little bit more than just the Crimea.
Sounds like that. And one thing that's not mentioned much, Ukraine had a huge selection of nukes, and they were talked into destroying them with the promise that the Russians, among others, wouldn't ever move against the Ukrainians. Do you think this is going to hurt nations in the future for not wanting to give them up on the word of future protection that doesn't arrive?
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying we need nukes now. I mean, the Ukraine once had a large collection of nukes when it was a part of the Soviet Empire. And yes, they were told, well, now that the Soviet Union's gone, the big bad wolf is gone, we'll protect you, give us your nukes. You know, but you could argue that was a good thing. I mean, we certainly wouldn't want nukes in the hands of a bunch of fanatics in Ukraine right now.
Absolutely.
It's pretty clear that Putin's not going to use nukes, irrespective of what one may believe Putin is or isn't. We certainly don't need a nuclear war. So I'm not in favor of Ukraine having nuclear weapons, which is what some of the more extremist elements in Ukraine are calling for. How would that help them? What would they do, launch a nuke against Russian troops in Crimea? And where would that lead us?
I hear you. I was just thinking of future ramifications when they try and talk future nations out of having them. What does the term psychological nudity mean? My best friend from high school said, he was so excited that I was going to interview you, that he said one of his terms is psychological nudity. He's a huge fan. What does that mean to new listeners of Savage Nation?
Well, I think it's a phrase that indicates that I strip the veneer off of, let us say, some of the public statements that we hear or some of the rubbish that comes out of Washington or out of our leaders in the media. You turn on the television, I mean, how much truth do you ever hear? It's all such garbage, people can't take it anymore. I mean, that's why talk radio exists, whether it's me or anyone else, is that at least you get some of the unvarnished opinions of people, whether you agree with them or not. You don't feel like you're going to go crazy from this babble that you hear in the media.
I love that.
It's one person talking to another. Whether you agree with him is another story, but at least you can relate to the fact that, okay, the guy is expressing what he believes. I may not agree with him, but let me argue with him.
Well, in your unvarnished veneer and your best fashion, I'm sure, tell me if Chris Christie is cooked.
Well, what's interesting about that is they made Bridgegate bigger than all of the other scandals of Obama put together. You know, all of the wonderful geniuses in the media who had nothing whatsoever to say about IRS gate, Benghazi. Benghazi gate. I'll go down the list if you want. All of a sudden, they jumped on Bridgegate like it was bigger than the death of our ambassador in Benghazi.
Right.
Because they agree with Obama. It goes back to your first question. How did this man get away with it? It's not that he's the Teflon president. It's that it's a useless media out there. But, you know, even the Teflon Don at the end couldn't get away with it forever. As Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, but you just can't fool all of the people all of the time. And I believe that the day of reckoning is coming for this presidency. There's only a certain amount that anyone can get away with.
In New York State, we are ordained every 4 years as to who our next governor is going to be. As a nation, are we ordained that Hillary Clinton is going to be the next president?
Oh, God. God forbid. I don't know who can run against her and win is the problem. What has she ever done that qualifies her for the presidency, number one? Number two, she's been the worst Secretary of State imaginable. Everything she touched went up in smoke. The Middle East went up in smoke, whether it's Libya or Egypt or Syria. Her handprints are all over that. She should take credit for that. You name it. What has she done to qualify her for the presidency? Oh, that she's a woman and that's sufficient to be the president? Now, who on the other side can beat her is the question. That's the only question.
Right.
Who have the Republicans come up with at this ridiculous CPAC convention that anyone would vote for? I don't know. And by the way, what was their message? There was none. As I said on my show yesterday, give me their message because I know what my message would be if I were running for office. Borders, language, culture. Borders, language, culture. That's my message. It's simple. You can't beat it. Because I don't think there's an American out there who couldn't relate to the fact that we are having borders that are being melted down, the language is being bastardized and turned into a polyglot and Tower of Babel, and our fundamental cultural values are being eroded and destroyed. So if I ran for office, I would say, okay, borders, language, culture. It's simple. It's real. It rings well. Everyone can remember it. I don't see such a message coming out of anyone at CPAC.
I hear you, and I also heard that you didn't have much use for what did come out of there. I mean, Rand Paul winning the straw poll means nothing. I mean, why they go through that charade is beyond me, and I'm glad you called him out on that.
I don't know. What, 4,000 people?
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to jump up and down and say, wow, that's the future? You know, I'd vote for Rand Paul only because he's a default choice. He'd be better than Hillary Clinton. At least he stands for something American. But the thing is I don't know that he can win in a general election.
Yep, it seems that would be the case. Michael, I can't tell you what a joy it's been to talk to you even for a brief 15 minutes. People can hear you at length from 10 to 1 every night, and we wish you a long and happy and successful career, and I know you'll do us proud here on News Radio 930.
How's Niagara Falls treating you?
It's treating me fine. I didn't go over in a barrel yet, so I...
Thanks for having me on. I love being in your area. Thank you very much.
Good to talk to you. Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Yeah, bye-bye. Dr. Michael Savage. He's the kind of guy, when he says the veneer, when he says psychological nudity, he's right. He says it like it is, whether you like it or not, and that's the way it goes.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, so Feinstein says her privacy was hijacked by the CIA. The rest of us are laughing at her, saying, you hijacked our privacy a long time ago. And what hypocrisy that is. We've covered that. The Malaysia flight is a very, very interesting story. It veered off course and was hundreds of miles off course, traveling back in the direction of Malaysia, sort of the opposite direction from its original destination, and it had stopped sending identifying transponder codes before it disappeared, according to a Malaysian Air Force official. Now, what does that mean? That means someone took control of the airplane, turned off the transponder, and started to head in a different direction. Where is the plane, though? It looks to me, I mean, at this point, it didn't crash. The Chinese have many satellites right now looking for any wreckage. Thus far, there's no reports. Two-thirds of the citizens on that plane were Chinese citizens of China. So what do you think happened? This is crazier by the minute. Why did the plane stop sending information via its transponder? Well, the thought that you have is somebody turned it off, hijacked or flicked it off. That would be the most logical conclusion, right? And someone who did that did it to disguise the following route of the plane. So where would they be going? So where would the pilots who've hijacked the plane, if that's what happened, take it to? Is that a chop shop in East L.A.? You want a wing? You want a leg? You want a breast? You want an antenna? I don't know. Where is this plane? It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage. Could the Mary,
could the Mary. It is hour number three of The Savage Nation. We've been talking about Feinstein protesteth too much, screaming that the CIA searched Intelligence Committee computers. Boo-hoo, Diane. You certainly like searching our computers. You didn't see any reason to rein in the NSA. That's what everyone's saying. You look at blog comments. No one has any sympathy for Feinstein. But the story that I think hits home to any listener to this show is not that, is one of the most eerie rumors that's coming out of the missing plane. And that a few relatives said they were able to call the cell phones of their loved ones or find them on a Chinese instant messenger service called QQ, which indicated that their phones were still somehow online. You hear this? How is that going on? That's a mystery, isn't it? A migrant worker in the room of relatives of the missing passenger said that several other workers from his company were on the plane, including his brother-in-law. And among them, the QQ accounts of three still showed that they were still online, he said, Sunday afternoon. And adding to this mystery, other relatives in the room of the missing passenger's family said that when they dialed some passengers' numbers, they seemed to get ringing tones on the other side, even though the calls were not picked up. So these phantom calls have triggered a new level of desperation, anger, and questions. And the relatives asked airline and police officials about the ringing calls, and QQ accounts have got no answers because they don't know the answer. They are being stonewalled. And China itself is in the mix here. The Chinese government, the People's Liberation Army, are using satellites to try to find any of the wreckage or where the plane is. So you want to talk about that, the CIA brouhaha with Dianne Feinstein, the two men with stolen passports. Those type of things are very important on the Savage Nation. And the phone number here is 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. Welcome to the program. Let's go to Ty on KSFO in San Francisco. I almost said Cisco. I almost made a mistake. Ty, welcome to the San Francisco. Ty, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Hey, great subjects today. Regarding your first topic with Dianne Feinstein, I believe bureau heads and bureaus don't do nothing unless they're directed by the talking head, Obama. I mean, heck, he uses the IRS, you know, as his personal hammer to hammer the nonprofit conservative groups. Why wouldn't he order CIA to fight back against Dianne Feinstein and Hillary Clinton, who might want to take out the Frankenstein that they created back two terms ago? And many a truth has been told in joke. I mean, his joke regarding a third-term presidency, the closer you get to 2016, I think you're going to hear more of these jokes and more of this subject talked about.
Yeah, yeah, no, I hear you. You're making comments on three different topics because each one is worthy of a discussion on unto themselves. There's no question about it. Yes, he was on the comedian's web show. Just shows you how far we've fallen as a nation, that a president would appear before not Meet the Press but meet the comedian. And on the comedian show, he's asked about the running for a third term, and he says, that's a good idea. Not a bad idea at all. So you know that this this guy on the internet show, this Zach guy, was told to ask the questions. And Obama was made to act like he was shocked by the irreverence of this this guy, right? I mean, you know, it was all a staged event.
What?
Thank you for the call. That's all. All right. Where's the plane? Where's Waldo? Why is he saying nothing about Ukraine and telling us about rubbish going on a comedian show? What kind of country is this? You know. You right? Okay. What do you want to talk about? Let's go to the callers right now. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, so good to get through to you.
Thank you.
I tend to agree with you that the scenario of a hijacking is a real possibility, and I see three scenarios on that. One being that it is a hostage situation for money. Two being that the plane could be deboarded, refueled up, and used as a suicide bombing mission. And three, and I haven't heard this theory yet, is that the Chinese government, military, could have that plane somewhere. They could be taking it apart piece by piece and stealing Boeing's aviation technology.
Oh, these are pretty far-fetched now. I mean, the fact of the matter is, two-thirds of the passengers on that plane were of Chinese citizenry. I think the third is implausible. Of course, we know the Chinese steal technology. I mean, that's a given. They stole many, many pieces of technology from us that they weren't given outright by the Democrats. So that's a possibility, but nobody really knows, Joe. Obviously, it's got conspiracy theorists across America, you know, chatting about it. But let's go back to the Feinstein thing. That's a big story. WQW in Iowa, KWQW. Cole, go ahead on the Feinstein CIA issue. Fire away.
Well, I have a take on it. I believe that the Washington bureaucrats are paranoid anyway, but I think that it's becoming more paranoid. It's strange that you can send a good man from the middle of the United States to Washington and they become completely irrational. And I think the money and the power goes to everybody's mind. And
what do you think is motivating Feinstein to scream so loudly about the CIA investigating her staff's computer traffic?
Well, I believe that the truth is that they have things on their computer that they've been doing that they don't want anybody to know about, and they're afraid of being found out. That's the reality of it.
No, of course that's the reality of it. But as I say, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. I mean, Dianne Feinstein was the greatest supporter of the NSA spying on innocent Americans as near as a week ago or 10 days ago. Now she's screaming when she found out she herself was being, or her staff was being, let us say, looked in on. You know, what goes around comes around, Dianne. No one has any sympathy for you, no matter how many fake organizations you put together. No one's going to believe a word you say anymore. 855-400-7282. Here's an interesting call coming up out of North Carolina, WSNC. Brian, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Good morning. Good afternoon. The name Galifianakis is familiar to Wilkes County, North Carolina.
Why is that? You mean that's the comedian's family name, of course. Why is it familiar?
Okay, a relative of the comedian was a Democratic representative in the North Carolina. It could have been the House of Representatives or it could have been the Senate back in the 70s and the early 80s when a guy named Jesse Helms, a staunch Republican, was opposed to him.
The apple doesn't fall far from the seltzer bottle. I get it. The souvlaki doesn't fall far from the table. I know what you're implying, but he himself is nothing but a comedian. Why should we believe a word that comes out of a comedian's mouth? They're comics. That's all they are. I mean, they may make us laugh, but why would a president humble himself like that or humiliate himself like that and go on an internet comedy show to present public policy? What kind of nation has this become? That's the real issue, by the way. KSFO in San Francisco. See, I said it right. Let me say it again. I've been saying it wrongly for so long. Let me just make San Francisco, KSFO. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mike, a bigger story that I'm wondering about is after everything that's happened with our airplanes, this plane that's missing, why is it still able, that pilots are able to turn the automatic, this transponder off in the cockpit? Why is that? something that's not able to be turned off?
I don't know. You're raising a very good question. Others, with all the hijacking, you think it would be made so that it cannot be turned off.
We wouldn't know where this plane is right now. And they're able to still go in the cockpit and turn this off so nobody can track them. I don't understand that.
Nobody understands any of this. It's a great mystery thus far. Now, this is very important for you to know. Boeing, the Boeing company that made the 777, put out a directive in the Federal Register several years back on 11/18/2013, which said Boeing model 777-200 and 300ER series airplanes, aircraft electronic system security protection from unauthorized internal access. What does that mean? It means the airplanes can be taken over by outside sources. The onboard network system can be hijacked, in other words, on these planes along the lines of what we've been hearing about some of our cars being acting rather curiously, such as the reporter last year who died in a car crash in L.A. They said that his car was going over 100 miles an hour in Beverly Hills and crashed into a tree when his parents said he always drove very modestly in the middle lane. And people speculated that someone had taken control of his car through the chips in his car and directed it, the pedal, the accelerator, the brake, and drove the car at a high speed into a tree. I mean, that's what people talked about. Say, well, I never heard that, so it can't be true. Well, it happens to be true. It can be done. We didn't say it happened in his case. He happened to be a no-goodnik reporter, by the way. He was the one who brought down two very great American generals, and he was definitely anti-CIA and anti-American, in my opinion. But who knows what happened in that case, which is why I bought a 1970 Jaguar XKE that has not a computer chip in it. In fact, this car is so safe to drive with regard to being taken over by an external source for one main reason. It doesn't start. Just, you know, with Lucas Electric and a Jaguar of that vintage, you're pretty safe in that car as long as you keep it in the garage and you sit in the garage and drink a glass of wine. It's the greatest car in the world to look at. You just don't want to take it out of the garage too often. Oh, a little levity here. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company Michael Savage trusts to buy his gold and silver from.
Here is a little story just came out. Obama cuts $200 million from Israeli missile defense partnership, including the Iron Dome program. The Iron Dome missile and rocket system that has protected Israel from an assault by Iran, for example, has just been cut by $200 million by the friend of the Jews, Barack Obama. How any Jew listening to this show supports Israel. I can see why leftists of any ethnicity would vote for Obama. I understand that. How could any Israel-loving Jewish person ever vote for a Democrat again is incomprehensible to me. But there are a lot of things that are incomprehensible to me with regard to the behavior of people who vote for Democrats. Just remember what you just heard. Obama cut $200 million from Israeli Missile Defense Partnership, including such existing programs as Israel's Arrow 2, Arrow 3, and David Sling. And he's also cut Israel's Iron Dome missile and rocket system. So how do you explain all of this? How do you explain? It's quite simple how. Real simple, that's all. Now, where's this plane? Where is this plane? Why is Feinstein worried? That's a real story. And, you know, I feel that this plane story will emerge over the next 48 hours. We have to learn if it's still, where it is. If it didn't go down, where it is. And let's take the scenario. It was hijacked. Okay, so who would have hijacked it? Okay, let's say Iranians. They're known for that. Just as some societies are known for cuisine, they're known for hijacking and murder under the mullahs right now. So let's say they hijacked the plane. We're going to hear from them very soon. Now, if we don't hear from anyone in the next 48 hours, that plane's gone. There's no debris, so where is it? Now we're going to get the conspiracy theorists. Now we're going to get the UFOs, the people who believe in, we're going to get that. That it was taken to space because they needed workers somewhere in the colonies. Where are they? Why would they hijack the plane with so many people? What are they going to do with the people up there? Can they live in another place without oxygen? So, you know, you can make all the laughing stories you want. You got relatives whose hearts are broken. How would you feel if your son, daughter, mother, father, whatever, was on a plane that disappeared and the, quote, authorities, the loudmouths who tell us they know everything from health care to this care, that care, they don't know where a plane is? Where's Chuck Hagel, our great defense secretary, who's seen great qualifications for the job? He doesn't know nothing. This is going to nothing. CIA doesn't know anything. FBI, they know how to spy on you. All the intelligence agencies, all the great government geniuses, where's the plane? We don't know, but we know how to listen in on your phone conversation. We know how to wiretap you. That's all we know how to do. Then you got Feinstein all of a sudden screaming, oh, they listened in on my computer. They looked in on it. What's she screaming so much? What has she got to hide? That's what people are saying. And she's protesting a little too loudly. That's what people are saying. What is she so excited about? That's what I'd like to know. Let's go to Tennessee, WJCW. James, you're on the Savage Nation. Why is Feinstein so upset about the CIA spying on her staffers?
She's afraid of another Edward Snowden leaking what she's got on this computer. Because you remember, you know, she's all about banning guns and taking all our freedoms away. There's a lot more on that computer than just that. You know, she's not playing all those cards way out in the open.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know she's a very wealthy woman whose wealth has grown enormously while she's been in Congress. We're not suggesting any wrongdoing, but it would raise eyebrows if we had a legitimate government. Somebody would ask, how did this happen?
Right, yeah, I agree.
I mean, that's the first thing you'd ask. Wait a minute, you went into public service and you became richer than Midas himself. How? How'd that happen? You only make about $190,000 a year. Doesn't add up. Where'd the money come from? Okay, well, these are questions that are worth answering in a legitimate government. If we had a press, it would be answered, but we don't. Where's the plane? Where's Waldo? So Waldo goes on vacation to a golfing trip while the war is brewing, comes back and goes on a comedian's internet comedy show and does stand-up. And we're supposed to believe that all of it was wild and crazy from this guy, Zach Galifianakis. Zach Galifianakis. We're supposed to believe that he was a wild and crazy and irreverent comedian. Well, I believe all of it was an act, and all of it was certainly staged with the president. And listen to clip number 8 if you missed it. I missed it because I don't watch TV on the internet. Let's listen to 8.
Where are you planning on building your presidential library, in Hawaii or your home country of Kenya? Because, I mean, both places seem like they would be...
Zach, that's a ridiculous question.
Well, you know, I mean, not to bring up the birth certificate thing, but you really never get really...
Where's your birth certificate? Why don't you show it to us right now?
I don't want to show anybody my birth certificate because it's embarrassing.
What's embarrassing about it?
My weight on it, it says that I was born 7 pounds, 800 ounces.
See, so it was made to make light of the birth certificate question. Staged. Staged by stooges. It's the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Big story of the day is Feinstein screaming that the CIA... Well, listen to clip 5 again in case you just joined the Savage Nation. 5.
The CIA search may also have violated the Fourth Amendment, the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, as well as Executive Order 12333, which prohibits the CIA from conducting domestic searches or surveillance.
Well, she almost said demented searches, which would have been more appropriate in terms of what she's been doing to us through the NSA. I mean, the NSA has been conducting demented searches, and we've been screaming, stop it. And who was the biggest defender of the NSA demented search department? Her. So now she's screaming, oh, God, look, they looked in on what I was doing, Leahy was doing, and Reed. Reed, Leahy, and her are the most radical of all of them. I don't think there's anyone to the left of Leahy. I don't think there's anyone more questionable and suspicious than Reed. And certainly Lady Di scares the pants off most normal Americans. Every time she gets up, people fear her because they know that she had absolute power. So I've asked you, who do you trust more, the CIA or Congress? I trust the CIA more. I trust Mr. Brennan more than I do Dianne Feinstein or Reed or Leahy, to be honest with you. I think John Brennan has a far better background than they do. I just trust them inherently more. And so I don't understand what she's screaming about. She's obviously got something to hide. And I want to pull back. I hope she doesn't. I hope that it's all my distrust of power and that all of my suspicions are false. And I hope she's as clean as she says she is. And Leahy is as good as he says he is. And Reid is above the suspicion as he says he is. I hope so. I truly do. Because, I want to trust my government. I mean, the approval rating of Congress may be in the single digits, but I'm a believer. I'm an ex-Boy Scout, so I just want to believe that my government is, you know, really good people. People who want to serve us, those who go into public service, they don't go into it to enrich themselves or their families. They go into it to serve us, not to serve an agenda of any kind. It's to serve we, the little people, the little animals on the bottom. I really hope that that's true, but what if it isn't? What if one of these power-hungry maniacs is found to have, let's say, shared classified information with one of our enemies, or one of these power maniacs has been found to have steered a contract to a friend or a family member, gotten a kickback, or you go down the list of things that happen in government, that have happened in government and are happening in government here and elsewhere. What if one of them got nailed and we saw him or her being let out in handcuffs? I think it would be the most healing thing for the nation. I think that it would be the most humbling thing for Congress. I think that such an image of an American senator who is above the law, above suspicion, above any kind of investigation, going down for the count before the American people would be one of the most healing events of our political life. And don't say it can't happen here. It has happened here. I mean, it's happened in Congress with Dan Rostenkowski. If you remember him, he was quite powerful. He went to prison. The governor of Illinois, remember him? He went to prison. So don't say it can't happen there. It can. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. If you get a comment on any of these topics, let's go back to any other topic. Dogs, missing president. The missing president is in the news. After vacationing at the $2,500 a night Ocean Reef Club in Key Largo this weekend, Barack and Michelle came back looking quite rested. Third vacation of the year, squeezing in another round of golf on Sunday, while the vice president jetted off to the Virgin Islands for the weekend while war fever brewed. Meanwhile, the White House says, oh, this is nothing. The president just needs a little vacation. And really what the president was doing in Florida over the weekend is frankly what he could have done if he stayed at the White House, said the spokesmouth. The president was looking forward to getting a little bit of downtime in the warm weather with his wife and daughters. Where's Waldo? Where's Barack Obama? Meanwhile, I told you last week, and I was heavily criticized for it, that it was the neocons who wanted another war. Yes, I said it was the neocons who wanted another war. Yes, I wrote it was the neocons who wanted another war. And what happened to prove I was right once again? What happened was the king of the neocons, Dick Cheney, came out, and he said use military options against Putin. Who was right, me or my fake conservative detractors? Listen to clip one. Dick Cheney says,
I worry when we begin to address a crisis, by the first thing we do is take options off the table. I don't think the administration should do that. That's not saying that no military. He seems to operate that way most of the time. There are military options that don't involve putting troops on the ground in Crimea.
Uh-huh. Military options that don't involve putting troops on the ground in Crimea. And what might those military options be? Let's see, nuclear war would be one. Firing cruise missiles would be number two. In either case, it's Cheney again looking for a hot war because does anyone still remember how to say Halliburton? Hal-E-Bur-Ton. Hal-E-Bur-Ton. Halliburton, 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 Halliburton. Or you could say halitosis. Or you could say halibut. But Halliburton would be the correct word to use, the operational word. It's not halitosis, although I don't know his dentist nor his dental work. I could say halibut, but I don't know if he eats fish after the heart surgery. It's hard to say that he wouldn't. I would say Halliburton is the operational word with Dick Cheney, and Halliburton's a defense contractor. Now, why in the world would Cheney and the neocons, who I called out by name last week, want another war? Simple. Money, follow the bouncing ball. Okay, we'll move on. Missing plane, missing president, missing media, missing parents, missing preachers. Don't ask, do tell. CPAC, not interested. I'd rather talk about abs than CPAC. I'd rather talk about the six-pack that I didn't drink this weekend. I'd rather talk about how to get a six-pack than the CPAC. Not interested. Chinese group claims responsibility for missing jet. A shadowy group called the Chinese Martyrs Brigade has claimed responsibility for the disappearance of Malaysia Airlines flight MH370. But so-called officials in Malaysia were skeptical and said the claim could be a hoax. The group, unheard of before, on Sunday sent an email to journalists across China that said, "You kill one of our clan, we will kill 100 of you as payback." And Malaysia's acting transport minister, Datuk Seri Hishmadidun Hussein, told reporters at Kuala Lumpur International Airport he doubted the claim's legitimacy. Other officials said the claim could be a hoax aimed at increasing ethnic tensions between Uyghurs, who are Muslim, by the way, and Han Chinese in the wake of the recent knife attack in the southwestern city of Kunming on March 1 that left 29 dead and injured 140 others. Now, this report comes to us from different wire sources. You notice how the useless idiots in the media just said the wake of the recent knife attack? Well, you don't know what the knife attack was. You were busy following which goon with tattoos on his soul was throwing a ball into what hoop. But I actually know who performed the knife attack. It was the Uyghurs who performed the knife attack, and it was the Han Chinese commuters who were skinned alive by them in a train station. But you wouldn't know that from reading the AP pool report, would you? No, you may as well swim at the bottom of a pool as try to figure anything out in the news media today. Okay, so the plane disappears at around 35,000 feet. Let's see, if you're 7 or 8 years old, you can figure out it blew up. Is that possible? How do you feel about Obama being disappeared over the weekend while war is brewing? How do you feel about Dick Cheney popping up like a mushroom after the rain, meaning like a warmonger after the drums of war have been beaten by John McCain, saying we should use military options against Putin for blowing off treaties? I was attacked for calling it a neocon war. I told you it was a neocons who wanted war. I was attacked by little loser websites who claimed to be conservative because I dared use the word neocon a little too often. I guess it touched a little raw nerve with the Limbaugh clan, the little clan of news sites and talkers who wrap themselves in the Constitution and always want war because they don't have to fight them. 855-407-282. How about the missing plane? There's nothing you could say. You don't know any more than anyone else does. How about the missing president? Does it make you bitter? Makes you upset? Makes you happy? Makes you sad? You know, there's a story I don't know if I should cover in any great detail because it's about the ultra-Orthodox Jews, 50,000 of them, flooded Lower Manhattan on Sunday to protest Israel's proposed draft of religious citizens to its army. The Orthodox Jews took up a stretch of 10 blocks with 19th-century clothed demonstrators standing behind police barricades amid tight security. Organizers kept to tradition with men and women in separate groups, as they all are at religious events, because as you well know, women are not allowed to be near men amongst the Orthodox. They're not considered exactly a second-class citizen, but let's put it to you this way. They're not allowed around the men. So I look at this, and I see a sea of black hats in Lower Manhattan. I say, why are they bothering to protest here? Why aren't they protesting Tel Aviv and see what the parents of boys who died so they can shuckle and jive in the synagogues feel about it? Why don't they go and do their thing over in Tel Aviv and complain to the secular Jews who they hate so much, who fight so they can have the freedom to pray 24 hours a day and not work for a living, I say to myself. And so I got a little worked up over it. Is that something you want to talk about? Now, if you are a member of this Satmar clan, or sect, if you want to call it that, the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community that doesn't think your young men should be drafted in the Israeli military, give me a call and tell me why. And it said that one of the Israeli Orthodox community said this. He said, these kids, a lot of them don't know how to hold a gun. They don't know what physical warfare is. And my answer is, duh, that's why they should be drafted. You see, because the so-called secular Jews who you spit on in Israel, they're the ones who do hold a gun. They're the ones who died so that you could pray. And that's why your sons must learn how to hold a gun, Rabbi. And that's why your sons should learn what physical warfare is, Rabbi, is what I'd like to say. And then he goes on and says this. Their whole world and their whole lifestyle is peace and love and in doing mitzvahs. He said, using the Jewish word for good deeds. He went on and said, and you take a bunch of kids out of the environment where they come from. In my eyes, it's wrong. Well, you know what, Rabbi? In my eyes, it's long overdue. And also, you should go protest in Tel Aviv, not in New York. What does this have to do with us? Why are you protesting the Israeli draft in New York City? Tell me why. Well, here's one answer. Peggy Blyer, an interior designer from Brooklyn, said, we're all united against military service for religious men in Israel because it doesn't allow for religious learning. The Israeli government is looking to destroy religious society and make the country into a secular melting pot. That's totally fraudulent rubbish. In fact, in the past, there were some very religious Israelis who were also paratroopers and members of the IDF. And they jumped out of airplanes with a Bible in one hand and an Uzi in the other. I appreciate that they do good work for the world. I appreciate that their whole lifestyle is peace and love and in doing mitzvahs. I appreciate the fact that they study the Bible and the Torah. That's all wonderful. According to the Torah, even a religious man is supposed to have a job in the real world. That is why many religious people, for example, have real jobs in the real world. This idea that you only study 24 hours a day and someone else works for you only started 250 years ago in Eastern Europe. And now we're living not in 1815, but in 2014. The fact of the matter is, many Orthodox Jewish men study Torah, serve in the armed forces, and also work to support their families. I don't quite understand why these men think that they have a right to not serve in the Israeli military. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
Well, as we roll into the end of hour number three today on the Savage Nation for March 11, 2014, here are the news headlines. The two Iranians with stolen passports on the missing plane are probably not terrorists, according to law enforcement officials. They're probably not terrorists. No, no, they were flying on stolen passports on the plane, but they're not terrorists because, well, they're not white, they're not Christians, and they're not wearing a cross, so therefore you have to rule them out. How can a jet disappear? In the ocean, it's not hard. All of this is on michaelsavage.com, your one-stop shop, if you don't have time for other websites. We do pictures and news headlines quickly. Major CBS news reporter quit over liberal bias. She was the only one who told the truth. They threw her out. That's CBS. CBS. Take off the C and you'll know what you're really listening to. Just eliminate the C of it and you'll get a real picture. FCC opposes black conservative TV ownership. You hear? The FCC claims that they want diversity, but when it comes to black conservative TV ownership, they're against it. President of Israel says you're being played for fools. You hear? Well, sure. Meanwhile, in Kiev, one of the terrorists in Ukraine says they may have to go nuclear, and we're supporting them? Now suddenly we want to give nuclear weapons to the Ukrainians? 70% of federal spending goes to individuals, an all-time high. 70% of federal spending goes not for national defense, but to individuals. Meanwhile, Mitch McConnell, the gobbler, says we're going to crush the Tea Party. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Hear Hillary Clinton compare the Russian invasion to Hitler. Savage wrote, Putin crosses Obama's pink line. Meanwhile, Obama went on another vacation, then came back and went on to a television program. The big news story of today that we've been talking about is the fact that Dianne Feinstein and other members of Congress who said that spying on ordinary Americans is perfectly fine, in fact, very important, is suddenly screaming like a stuck you-know-what, because it turns out, she says, the CIA has been spying on her computer. What is that about? Old Feinstein says, don't spy on me, but spy on everyone else? See, in animal farms, some animals are more equal than others. But Feinstein wouldn't know that, because she's been rolling in it for so long, suddenly she doesn't like the idea that she, too, might be spied on. She said, they're undermining the constitutional principle of congressional oversight. Really? Well, here's my question. If the CIA searched the Intelligence Committee computers, why would the CIA do that? There must be a reason for it, because on Tuesday, CIA Director John O'Brien said The agency did nothing wrong and has tried to work as collaboratively as possible. Now, I have a question for you in the audience. Why is Feinstein screaming so loudly? Let's say that the CIA did search their computers. So what? I'm glad that they searched their computers. I mean, if they're searching my computer and your computer and my dog's computer and my dog groomer's computer, what is Dianne Feinstein above the law? Patrick Leahy above the law? Harry Reid above the law? No, I don't think so. Maybe they are, you know, maybe there was a reason for the CIA to do it. What it comes down to is this. There's an old ancient Roman saying, who will watch the watchers? Well, right now I'm glad the CIA is watching the watchers. I hope to God we the people find out how alarming this really is and find out what exactly it is that they may be hiding, if anything.